Coming of Age, celebrating 20 years of sin.
We've got another guest. We're bringing all our friends back. We're getting together. The next person to join us on air is Bryce Ives, another former general manager of Sin, sort of just before me, or there was a couple in between. But in that 2000s era, Bryce, can you hear us?
I can hear you loud and clear.
Oh, welcome.
Hello, Bryce.
I know you're doing some parenting while you're talking to us, so thank you for juggling things with the kiddos.
Neo's listening in too right now. Stella.
Hello, Neo. Sin, tell us your, Bryce, tell us your sin story.
Look, I mean, the background for me was I, a Ballarat kid, had a lot to do with community radio and media in Ballarat in the 90s. So 3BBB, the mighty 3BBB, where I did like every shift at some point or other, and also youth TV, so Race Around the Corner and Recovery on the ABC were like things I was doing. And got to Melbourne, like a lot of young people from rural places, with just that real sense it's got to get shit going. And I did a program, Joe will remember, called Dawn's Crack.
I think that's how we met, Bryce.
Yeah, that's how we met. We met on TV, on Dawn's Crack.
On air.
one Saturday morning. And, you know, I was, I think, 17 or 18 at the time doing that program. I used to go to air every Saturday morning, you know, from 9 till midday, the sort of recovery attempt at Channel 31. And Sin, of course, was right next door. And I was, like, in awe of all of the sinners. Like, I was in love with them. And I didn't really know how to say I was in love with them because I was also the country kid, a little bit intimidated, like Sam O'Reilly, and he looked like Jurassic from Heartbreak High, and Joe was so impressive, and then the other Joe was so smart, and, you know, and then Simon Goodrich, like all of these people. And but I was also a little bit reluctant because I'd been involved in community radio already, and I didn't really want to do much more in radio. I felt like I wanted to do TV and theatre and other things. But I think it was at a CBAA conference, Joe, in 2002, where I got to spend a lot of time with the sinners.
Oh, yeah.
And it just cemented it in my mind. Like, and you, I think someone before mentioned values.
Yeah.
And, you know, like the value spoke to me, like this creators, not consumers piece, this idea that nobody was going to be a star, everybody would do two grids a year. You know, the young people were running the show. I was like, well, holy hell, this is totally speaking to my thing. And I waited. I was really strategic. I waited for the right moment. So Joe was manager, and suddenly Channel 31 had this idea of doing a joint broadcast between Sin and Channel 31 and needed an executive producer.
Back in the Greg D days. Yep. Was this a Greg D?
Greg D from Channel 31. So, like, highly strategic. I was like, yep, I want to run that. That sounds great. And that was Sin TV, and that was kind of the start of my Sin journey. And, you know, 5 days a week, TV, radio, simulcast. Sam and I ran these really strange illegal cords all around, you know, to get footage back to Channel 31. You know, like, we had great hosts, Jack Post and, you know, Jack and 40 on a Friday. And all teenagers,
you're
hosting straight after school. And it was just, it was a fabulous kind of example of what Sin was all about, really. You know, like these teenagers hosting this program, this giant experiment. Can you do a simulcast on radio and TV? And Sin TV, like, was used to rate really well on Channel 31. You know, the Friday night edition would get 30,000 people watching it on the Austam ratings.
I remember that.
It was pretty shit radio sometimes because, like, TV always dominates, you know, like, didn't always sound great on the radio. But, yeah, that was the start. And then, future, like, I also did, I kind of just did jack-of-all-trades sort of stuff. Like, so there was a, didn't want to do an Asian pop night. And, there wasn't really anyone to coordinate it. So I was like, yeah, I'm a country kid. I can do an action pop now. And, yeah, went around and found great presenters. And I can always remember Canto Pop Cannot Stop and Jennifer Ho and Weza Chow and, like, all of these great people on Asian Pop Nights. And And the Naughty Roots program as well hosted the first season of that. The only thing I've ever hosted on Sin. And for me, like, it's just been, I can never put into words what it all means, but I always think about that crew who I looked up to, like Joe and Samurai and Simon and Craig and Joe McCarthy, and even like some of the older people as well, Colin Thompson and from Stormy Darabin, the secondary college teacher, and what's the other one?
Paul Van Eden.
Paul Van Eden, I remember Paul. And I just kind of like, I just feel so fortunate that right place, right time, I could just be a follower and go, I'm jumping on board this.
I feel like, Bryce, my experience of working with you at Sin, you were anything but a follower too, though. Like, I feel like what you're talking about is a great tradition, and it was lots of people, but I really learned from you coming in as a broadcaster when you were, I think you were the manager, I think, or were certainly had been there a couple of years, sort of came in after, and your ability to spark stuff and to say, why not, let's give this a go, was just incredible. Like, I distinctly remember a conversation we had, Bryce, where I was like, this is going wrong. And I sort of like, I'd come through school and university and the sort of institutional big structures where I just always assumed someone else was, that I didn't have the agency to fix it because maybe there was already something that would had been done before that would, you know, that was the way things were done. And then you said to me, like, it's kind of up to us. Like, if we're going to do that or fix it. I can't remember what the problem was. Probably had to do with those illegal cords running around. But it was a real awakening for me, I've got to say. It's just self-indulgent here. But, like, no, this is up to us to sort this out or to just do the thing that we want to do or make it happen. Mm. And it really set me on this path of cracking me out of this idea that these big institutions or structures or big monolithic things around us would constrain us. They didn't have to.
Mm.
I think that I've been really, like, as I say, like, I was just fortunate in terms of a whole lot of bits of timing. I think I was so fortunate as a teenager to have that experience with the ABC, with Race Around the Corner and Recovery, and with the brilliant Shona Devlin, who's always been a great friend of Sin's as well. You know, because, like, that really instilled in me that young people can make high-quality media. And then, of course, like, when I met the Sinners, I was like, and he was a group who has been really aspirational, in my opinion. You know, like, and I can remember what the world of community radio was like before Sin, and it was dire. It was dire. You know, that it was just no other way to describe it. Sin breathed such life and vitality into the sector, has contributed so much to community broadcasting. But, you know, like, I think, I always think about, like, my kind of role has sort of been, like, the second season of Degrassi, you know? Like, the first season of Degrassi was there. And then, you know, like, a kind of new cast started appearing, and I was probably, like, the first new cast member of sorts, in a way. And I think the startup phase, you know, like, has its own challenges and it's tough. But, like, that thing around, well, then, how do you, like, actually sustain this? And I think Georgia, the aha moment was always, this is a movement, it is multimedia, and youth leadership matters, you know, and we've got to, like, find the solutions to things. And I think that actually, I mean, that was always there, but I think that I had to sustain that or cement that somehow into the organisation and into people. I would learn years later that probably as well it was because I had ADHD, you know, so, like, short attention span and risk-taking is natural for me, as well as kind of going off script and sort of saying anything at any time. but, you know, I think that works
the superpowers,
really,
Bryce.
Well, in terms of I think it works well in terms of the culture of the organisation. I think, you know, the bookkeeping was not great during my time as general manager, but the vision was there. The vision was there.
That's the beauty of this place is there's other, you know, it's lots of people chipping in, and other people have different strengths. And
looking out for each other, I mean, too, it's that community again that we keep coming back to.
I look at all of this now, and I look at, you know, like, I mean, Georgia, I was really lucky to work with. Like, Georgia came through, I think, as a volunteer when I was manager, and then we worked together for a long time, even after I left Sin. But Talia, like, I mean, we never had any direct in contact at all, but, like, you are one of my both as friends and confidants. Tessa was on before as well. And I just feel like, isn't it this kind of bizarre thing that we're all part of and that we're all connected to? So Curtin's on the air and is, you know, in a relationship with Sam Drummond, who comes years later in the Sin story as well. Right. I mean, I kind of really struggled with this whole thing about alumni coming back on the air, as you guys know. I've tossed and turned over whether it's appropriate or not. Like, you know, my thing is always like, let's get the young people on the air. I'm actually also glad now you guys have done it. And having listened today, it's been a real gift as well. But, you know, we've been part of something bigger than ourselves. And the greatest piece of it is all of the relationships that have come from it, like Crookie and Tess talking about sinners are everywhere. And we do open the door for one another. I get, you know, the last couple of years I've been working with the amazing Josie Smart, Luke, who comes many, many years after I was involved in Sin. And yet we've got this shared sense of value and shared sense of, you know, we've been part of something. And there's never been one star at Sin. It's always been an ensemble performance.
Yeah.
You know, always been an ensemble performance.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I think when it comes to karaoke nights at Sin, totally different story.
Who would you say is the star in that?
Is the absolute star of that. You know, Joe Curtin's pretty good as well. You know? But as a team, I mean, how lucky are we, really?
Completely.
Yeah. So glad.
A lot of gratitude right here.
We've hit 1 o'clock and we're meant to finish up. We might just quickly beg a couple more. Jake's nodding here. We're bleeding a little bit into the next hour with everyone's indulgence, including Jake at Sins. But I'm so glad we could squeeze in a chat with you, Bryce. Thank you for everything you did for Sin and to pave the way for those of us who came after or worked with you, like you said, but so many people contributed to that. So it's just good to dip in and share some of your memories as we celebrate 20 years. And I promise we will make way for the young people very soon. It's been such an honour to have like a little bit of airtime to honour the history that, created what we've all benefited from. Thanks, Bryce.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you.
Coming of Age, celebrating 20 years of Sin.